Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the great shepherd of a sheep who calls his faithful home in his time and in his way. Amen. It was coming to the end of preseason football in the NFL. And that meant there could only be 53 members on the team. Some were going to have to stay, and some were going to have to go. The general manager, Tom Wolf, decided this year, we're definitely going to keep three quarterbacks because those guys just seem to get hurt. And we're going to replace the punter because last year's just couldn't get the ball that far down the field. Gotta let the running back go, even though he's a favorite. That knee injury from the previous season isn't healing right. We'll go with the rookie instead. And as for those cornerbacks, well, it's good to change them every 2 years or so because, let's face it, they start to slow up and aren't as tall as all those wide receivers they have these days. So even though we had one that had five interceptions, he also let go about seven touchdowns. He's gone too. And Tom Wolf always had a unique way of saying goodbye to his players. He just couldn't stand looking in their eye and hearing them ask that question, did I make the cut? He told them at the beginning of training camp, you'd know if they haven't made it if you heard him coming or you smelt his big cigar. Because that's how he handled it, whether he was the general manager of the Oakland Raiders or the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and now the Green Bay Packers. When it came down to the final cut, you could hear his feet in tap shoes going clickety-clack, 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 and you could smell the aroma of his stinky cigar coming down the hall as the fumes just wafted out in front of him. And if he stopped by your door, there was no more clickety-clack. And then he'd open up the door and look at you and maybe take a puff on a cigar, and the player knew. Didn't make the team. As we come to the end of the church year, we think again about the final cut, not to a football team, but to heaven. Who makes it? Who doesn't? Jesus says at the end of time, you'll hear the trumpet sound. It's a lot louder than clickety-clack, clickety-clack. And some people would like to say, well, there's only 144,000 on that team. They'll quote to you Revelation chapter 7 and Revelation chapter 14. Only 144,000. And you look at them and you say, well, if that's the case, how do you know you're going to be there? But that real number is talking about something else. 12 times 12, you know the symbolism of the number 12, 12 tribes of Israel, 12 apostles. It occurs a lot. 12. Take 12 times 12, or 12 cubed, and you got 144. A nice symbol talking about the Christian church. The number 10 symbolizes completeness. You know, it's 7 plus 3, 7 days of creation, 3 in the Holy Trinity. You know, 10. Take 10 times, you know, 1,000, and when you got 10,000, take it times 144,
10,000, you got 144,000. What does it equal symbolically?
The whole Christian church that's ever existed.
So you don't have a number for the cut of people that are going to be in heaven. How do we know that we make it? Jesus puts it this way. He says, when the Son of Man comes in His glory, and all the angels with Him, then He will sit on His glorious throne. Before Him will be gathered all the nations, and He will separate people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And He will place the sheep on His right and the goats on His left. Then the King will say to those on His right, come, you who are blessed by My Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. There are sheep. Sometimes we have our favorite animals. We like to say, well, I'd like to be like a lion. You know, a lion roars and pounces and is very powerful, and he just has to eat like one meal a week, and then he can do whatever he wants. And if you have a pride of lions, the male can tell all of the female lionesses to go and get the food for him. It's kind of nice. I'd like to be a lion. Or maybe some of us would say, well, that's kind of gruff. I'd rather be happy with my life. I like to be more like an otter, you know, kind of frills and twirls and spills and takes care of the family, has lots of fun. Or maybe we want to be an eagle and soar and fly away and have different types of adventures in life. That's the type of animal we would like to be. Or maybe we would just like to be a turtle that just is steady. You just keep going one step in front of the other. Nothing seems to bother you. You just keep going, going. And God says to you and me in this text, you're not a lion, you're not an otter, you're not an eagle, you're not even a turtle. If I pick you, you're sheep. Sheep. I only know of one animal that is more stupid than a sheep. And it's a domesticated turkey. Not a wild turkey. No, they're brilliant. They're hard to hunt. They're hard to catch. They run off. They know what to do. They can sense that you're coming. But turkey on a turkey farm, you have to teach them how to even drink water. They would drown in a pool of water if you didn't teach them how to drink right. And a sheep is just a little bit above that, because a sheep does need a shepherd with its little spindly legs and that big wool around it. If the shepherd isn't there and it tries to go by a fast-moving stream, guess what? They can fall right in it and drown too. They're just a little bit smarter than that turkey. They kind of like the still pool waters better. But not much. And God says, you and I are sheep. And sheep, as you know, have to be guided, because if you let them on one patch of ground too long, they eat all the grass down to the stubble and it won't grow back, and then they won't have anything to eat again later on. You got to move them to a different place to graze every once in a while. And sheep can't protect themselves from any type of enemies. They need somebody with a rod and a staff to fight off the wolves and the lions and also the people that are trying to steal them from the shepherd. So the good shepherd is always there making sure that they're okay. And that's what God says of believers. They are sheep. They hear His voice. They listen by the grace of God. They believe. And so when it comes down to it, in and of ourselves, we don't have a lot of talent to make the team. It's not because we're brilliant. It's not because we are rich. It's not because we are smart. It's not because we are caring. It's not because we do all these good works. The works are actually byproducts of being sheep. Now you're probably saying, no, wait a minute, what about that gospel text there? It said, oh, you fed me, you gave me something to wear, you visited me in the hospital, you were there when I was in prison. Aren't those my good works? You didn't listen to an old text, did you? The sheep say, when? I don't remember. I visited you while you were in the hospital. I don't remember that. I do remember going and talking to you outside of church, but I don't remember seeing you in the hospital. I visited you while you were in prison? Well, surely I would remember that. That's a very scary place, especially at this time in the New Testament. You know, you go into prison, you might not get back out if you visit somebody 2,000 years ago, and it's kind of scary today, too. You know, the doors, they close behind you. I'm visiting you in prison. I don't remember at all. What? You mean I put money in your meter in front of your car when the meter was running out? I don't remember that. There was a cart at Walmart in the middle of the parking lot. You mean I pushed it back in the rack? You got to be kidding me. I was going Christmas shopping. I don't remember that. Why? Because sheep don't have good memories. They don't remember the good things that they have done. They remember the bad things that they did. Yeah, I put my foot in my mouth that time when I first met you. I'm really sorry about that. Yeah, we got in an argument on Thanksgiving Day. Of all the days we're supposed to be thankful, and here we're sitting arguing around the table. You got to be kidding me. That's pretty bad. That's what sheep remember. And the good shepherd says, oh, this is what I remember about you. You were there. You were taking care of that person. You gave them a ride, or you prayed with them, or you gave them a meal, or you let them have a shoulder to cry on. You don't remember it, but I sure do, and as you did it for them, you did it for me. And the point is, because you forgot it, I know you did it for me. Because you didn't get any benefit whatsoever about helping that person. They didn't give you any gifts. They didn't even maybe say thank you. You don't remember at all. But I do. Because you did it because you knew I love you. The good shepherd says, come, blessed of my Father, receive the inheritance that is yours since the beginning of the world. You didn't earn it. You inherited it. You were given it by the grace of God. He makes sure you make the cut. Because Jesus is the good shepherd who dies and rises for us sheep. And when we get to heaven, I think what we're going to be amazed at is the people that are there that we didn't expect to be there. And in some ways, there will be people missing, but we won't know that they're missing, because that would bring us sadness and not joy. God is the one who says, I want you. God is the one who says, you did this for me. And all we'll say to the Lord is thank you and when did I do that? I really, really don't remember. Amen.